Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Happy Hump Day. Really been a nice day. It has not been nearly as hot today. We had a good bit of rain yesterday. And behind the rain, the temperature's a little bit cooler. It's much more pleasant. I mean, you're out there in the sun. It's absolutely warm.
It's summertime.
Hot. You're going to feel
it. It's summertime in Alabama.
But it's nothing like the last few days when it's been in the 90s with high humidity. Much more tolerable today.
Yeah, I woke up, what was it, maybe Saturday morning. It had rained Friday night last week. I woke up Saturday morning and cut grass, and it was 96% humidity.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, it don't matter what time of the day you go now. I mean, it's hot in the morning. But, yeah, it's much better today. I don't think we got as much rain on my side of town as you guys did.
And, see, I didn't realize that. Dan was telling me that yesterday because we've been watching Kennedy, our granddaughter, while Matt and Ariel have been out of the country. So we're right up there, you know, not far from you, in the new subdivision across from Camden Ridge.
Yeah.
And it rained, but it didn't seem like much. And Dan said, when we came on, Dan was talking about, wow, the thunderstorm, and it's like
we got about 10 minutes or so of steady rain. Yeah, I mean, it's enough to water my flowers.
But no, I got home. I went by because we've been staying there because she's more comfortable in her own bed. Mm-hmm. But she likes to come visit, and we'll go out to the house. We've got a pool, and we have a dog, so I have to go by take care of the dog. So that's what I did last night. I swung by to feed the dog and grab a couple of things before I headed back north. And, I could tell that it rained a lot.
Yeah, much different. But good day today. You're right. And comfortable. It is warm, but that's what you would expect. So,
oh, yeah.
Nice day.
And, enjoy it, folks. I mean, these days like this don't come along very often in July.
No, I walked outside last night after the rain. I went, a little breeze. I was like, man, this gets me ready for what's coming, even though we still got a ways to go until actual football. There's starting to be some football news here and there, and so it's kind of edging us towards the season.
Yeah, I guess 7 weeks, I guess, from Saturday is the opening game for Auburn. SEC Media Days next week. Some news today. Oh, by the way, folks, that's Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover that you're hearing. Dan should be joining us momentarily. Bill here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Some news today about future scheduling, as UCLA announcing that they will not be playing either Georgia or Auburn over the next 4 years. They were scheduled to play Georgia 25-26 and Auburn 27-28.
Yeah, we talked about this before, wondering what games would still be on the schedule because of these conference changes. The Big Ten is a 9-game conference schedule, and they're still going to play power teams, but they're going to stay West Coast.
Yeah, well, it makes sense with all the travel they have
now. I mean, can you imagine, I don't know what their schedule would look like in 2028, but UCLA, imagine you come across the country 4 times.
Right.
To play conference games, or maybe 3, depending on what U.S.
I sure don't want to do it again for a non-conference.
No, not 4 trips across the whole country. And, I mean, that's part of what we've seen happening already. And you wonder what things are going to look like here in a few years because, I mean, will the SEC be a 9-game schedule? I believe they will eventually. But that's not what this one was about. This was UCLA and their new conference alignment and wanting to kind of eliminate some of that travel. And so Auburn, was able to, I believe, find somebody that was another partner pretty quickly.
We'll see who that is.
It'll be closer to home. Wouldn't be surprised if it got done here pretty quickly. I've heard some names. Not don't want to throw them out there yet, but I think there's nothing been done yet. There's no contract or anything.
Auburn's like got Baylor the next 2 years, right?
Got Baylor the next 2 years. So, and then you still have Miami for 29 and 30 still on there. So you have some pretty attractive games coming.
Again, those are at least within. It's pretty much within your conference.
Absolutely, and I think that's where distance. I think that's where you would like to stay. If you're Auburn, to go look. I do believe that trip to Cal. I think it had much more of an impact than people realize. I think it was felt within the program. I told you, I felt it for 2 or 3 weeks after we got back, and I didn't play a football game. And so I think doing that, I think that was part of Auburn going, hey, we're okay with not going across the country and playing one during a season as well. It's different if it's kickoff and you have maybe a non-conference game in week two to throw it in the season a little bit. Makes it a pretty tough challenge. So I think UCLA said, hey, we're enough, and both teams said, okay, that's fine with us.
There's also a desire, I think, for UCLA to schedule some of the former Pac-12 teams at a conference,
and so now Utah and Cal.
Yeah, so I think they're rethinking, and I think there's talk of a Stanford series as well. So I think some of the teams that used to be in the Pac-12, former conference rivals, I'm sure there's a desire to play Arizona in basketball and revive that, if at all possible, because UCLA and Arizona played.
That's been the rivalry.
Yeah, the thought that's not on the schedule this year because those two teams are in different leagues now is like. It feels like something's missing.
It would be crazy to be traveling, all the way across country to play somebody when there's somebody that fans are interested in seeing that both sets of fans would be able to attend.
And I would think both USC and UCLA, because they've traditionally recruited the Phoenix metro area, would want Arizona State on the schedule, or at least a chance to go play there every once in a while too. So like there's the. It feels like a casualty of it's collateral damage in conference realignment, is that what would have been a really cool Auburn-UCLA series doesn't seem as practical for UCLA anymore because they're playing multiple Big Ten road games, and they have a bunch of former conference rivals that now they would have to schedule as non-conference opponents spot where they were playing Auburn or Georgia.
Yeah, doing it one time is very different than doing it 4 or 5 times in a year.
Yeah, and as Jason was saying, I mean, after Auburn made the trip to Cal, it's like don't really need to be doing that unless it's the postseason. There's really no reason to be traveling cross country for non-conference games it can take a toll.
I mean, I think that every other season taking a road trip to a Power Five opponent. I mean, I think that's probably the way it should be in college football in the SEC. You play a home Power Five opponent 1 year, and then you play a road one. How far that road, how far you go, we've talked before. That's a frequent observer topic, is like dream road opponents for Auburn, either that they haven't played in a really long time or that they've never played before. Yeah. And not a lot of them are necessarily close,
There are plenty of those that are at least time zone wise, make it a much better opportunity than it is going all the way across the country. When you think about a Notre Dame or Michigan,
you're talking about the adjustment before and after the game, more than actually playing the game.
Because I mean, like Jason was saying, I mean, it affects you. It doesn't just affect you there for that ball game that you're playing at a time when your body doesn't. I mean, it takes a few days to get back,
especially,
and you've really got to be careful who you're playing a week after you're making a trip like that.
And especially if you start adding another conference game in, you can really do yourself some damage. So yeah, I think you think about potential ones. You think about, I mean, there's lots of potential matchups now when you start thinking about, the way the ACC looks now, some of the schools they've added, the way that now a Big 12 opponent, a school like UCF, I don't think that would happen, but a school like UCF would be a Big 12 game now. An SMU would be an ACC game. I mean, there are some things that have opened the door up to better travel areas. You might recruit some of those things too. So those are things you think about if you're Auburn as well.
Jason Caldwell with us. Hey, Dan. How's it going, man?
I'm doing all right. I was doing some work at the lake, and I I thought about just coming straight to the station, but I made the executive decision that I needed a shower and a change. And I was like, you know what? All right, I'm going to be in the studio.
Yeah, I'm sure
in the studio for a while. So I was like, you know, maybe I'm going to sacrifice the first couple minutes of the show. Jason's in the house. I know we can probably manage.
I mean, now I was doing some work, but I make sure there's enough chlorine in the pool that when I hit the pool,
it showers you up a little bit.
Yeah, it doesn't bother everybody around.
Now, Jason, among the other things that we could talk to Jason about is, you know, he's our, and appropriately enough with the Masters shirt on today, but the you're kind of our golf guy on the show, one of our go-tos. Exciting news about a local kid winning on the PGA Tour this
weekend. Yeah, Davis Thompson, the guy that you know, I remember him coming out and obviously had some connections to Georgia, played at Lee Scott, wins going away. I mean, watching Saturday, he kind of pulled away. And then Sunday, other than a run by Thorburn Olsen, who was a kid that played at Georgia Tech, Luke Clanton, Florida State. I mean, these are the future guys of the PGA Tour, and mm-hmm. they're really good. And the byproduct of LIV and some of the older guys taking money and moving on is that it has opened up the door for the future of the game. And there's some strong players. You think about this group coming up, and Davis Thompson is one of those. I mean, 60-some-odd events in, now has a win. That young group that's coming up is really talented. You know, some Auburn guys there. Trace Crow. Trace finished top 30-ish, and that included even par on the final day when everybody was 4 or 5 under. Had he kind of matched those, he would have had a top 25. But Trace has made about almost $300,000 this year in just some limited opportunities. He is borderline about 140 or 150, somewhere around there, in FedEx Cup points for Trace. Get some more starts here in the fall and try to get inside the top 125, which would be huge for him to get some status on the PGA Tour. But, yeah, Davis Thompson, huge win. Another one of those young guys that you look at and go, okay, start paying attention to this guy moving forward as you know, the talent level just keeps improving.
Jason Caldwell with us here in hour number one. We'd love for you to join in, and you can do so by calling the Drive Hotline, which is sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center.
We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Plaza. At the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, Drew at the controls. Love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, we were just talking media days coming up. It's going to be odd. I'm because there aren't many people that'll cover Auburn that are going to be making the trip. And I mean, logistics, well, and justification,
correct. That's
of
it.
Being there. And, it's tough.
And it's almost, this is an event now that is made for TV and radio. From a print perspective,
and now more TV,
With
ESPN, really with ESPN, yeah, taking this thing. Yeah,
I mean, it's all SEC Network, everything about it. Yeah. And I thought it couldn't get worse than being in Atlanta, and then they answered the question by moving it to Arlington the same week as the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. And obviously, it's for Texas and Oklahoma coming in the league. We know that, but from our perspective, you know, you'll have. You know, Hugh Freeze on TV. They'll be showing his talk on TV. From a player's wise, you can watch the live stream and you'll get quotes from it afterwards. You're right. The justification of how much it costs you versus what you can get extra. There's no extra time in SEC Media Days because these guys, it's not like you go, hey, let's go hang out and sit on the couch for 20 minutes and talk. 20 years ago, you could do that. Now, you don't have those times now. And so for us, it's covering it from here. Gets back to Birmingham or wherever, we'll be there covering it. But, yeah, the justification, especially when you have four road trips like you have this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Alabama, Georgia are the easiest of road trips, but Missouri is a trip, and Kentucky's a trip. They're going to be costly a little bit, so you have to kind of gauge some of those things.
If things break right and you're put in charge of this whole thing, Jason Caldwell, if you're commissioner of the SEC someday, what's the plan for media days? Like, where's it going to be? Would you have a rotation?
What my plan would be for media days? Let the SEC network have all those guys come up there and do the TV things and all that, and then have an actual media days where you have sit downs and do some of those things. And the other part would be media the actual cover of the SEC, the actual cover football games. You have to be credentialed going to the stadium instead of, let's see how many people we can invite to a place.
You'd want to let the school athletic department sort of control the list a little bit.
Correct.
I would like that.
I mean, there's so much
too when
you
times, get. There are too many fans.
Correct. And you get
in. That are in the media seats.
Correct. And so I would like to see it where, okay, the actual media that are credentialed, that cover games, instead of just trying to fill it up with see how many people. Oh, we had 1,800 people there. Well, that's not a good thing. So, the TV is going to get theirs, but I realize those days are over with. It's not going to come back anymore because everything is digital. Everything is about TV and about the SEC network and all that. So I'm fine with it, to be quite honest, because it had run its course for me in terms of news-making events anyway, because now every day is a news day. 20 years ago, you waited till then to go, hey, who showed up? Who's here? Who's on campus? Who's not going to be here?
Yeah, we'd heard from coaches, right? In months,
First time you'd heard from coaches, but I mean, there may have been a couple out on the banquet circuit that you might hear something from.
That's it.
But yeah, we were talking about it a couple of days ago, Jason. I mean, you didn't know who was going to be who all shows up,
who made
for the first
it,
day of practice, who's eligible,
academic.
Who's, yes.
The academic questions were the ones that I remember waiting to go. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Who you waiting on? Who's not in yet? What? And I mean, it would be weeks, sometimes even into practice, before you found out if a guy's eligible or not. Those days are, I mean, knock on wood, pretty much gone by the wayside now.
Yeah,
that's almost unheard of now. It is, and so that to me, yeah, this is going to be funny, and it doesn't matter because it's meaningless anyway. I would much more like to have my say so for the SEC network programming. And go, hey, how about when you're programming SEC Network Takeover Day, show something that people – show a 1995 basketball game where you beat – show something historical value.
Show a great moment in history.
Yeah, and not just the kick six.
Got it archived.
Yeah, because, I mean, I watch – the Big Ten Network does an incredible job. I have YouTube TV now, and I can get the Big Ten Network. And right. They have these one-hour shows – and they'll show games, and it's and
NFL because, films influenced, right?
Well, you can see the way you cut through the commercials. But it's incredible because I'm like, man, that's how it should be done. I mean, just think of all the Auburn games over the years that you could be watching. And I know maybe you don't have access to CBS games. Okay, there's a bunch of other games that have been played over the years that you would have access to, because now you can go back to the ABC.
Oh my goodness, the ABC Keith Jackson.
But if I were, even though I'm not necessarily involved with the SEC anymore, you know, doing the ESPN thing. If I were CBS and I had control of that library of games, think about the stories in college football that we had over the last 30 years that played out that way on the SEC and CBS. I mean, they're looking for stuff to put on Paramount Plus or whatever. Find some way to work with the SEC.
Those are things that I don't understand because I mean, I think back to it, and I mentioned the other day. I was like, you mean to tell me that the SEC, the network takeover day for Auburn, you mean to tell me that which one's going to get more viewers, whatever game they picked? I don't even know from last season, or the 90
Arkansas,
or the 94 Auburn Florida game in the Swamp with Brent Musburger calling and Nick Sanders,
and that's a game that a lot of younger fans
have no idea.
No, they have no idea. They may have heard a little bit about it, but I doubt that they've seen it.
The 82 Iron Bowl ABC game.
Yeah,
I mean all those ESPN night games over the years when you had Mike Patrick and those guys do. There are so many games that you could be putting on TV that people would go, holy cow. You're like the younger generation. Hey, here's your introduction. Here's Patrick Nix. There's Bo's dad throwing. things like that would be so incredible.
Is the emphasis on, because I don't follow the takeovers that closely, are they trying to play stuff that happened in the last calendar year? Because I know it's Auburn's.
That's it.
Okay, so maybe it's a look back on the year that was.
I can understand that.
But that's a missed. But what you're saying, opportunity. What you're talking about, I think, aside from the takeovers,
just like
if you're looking for stuff to put on the SEC Network, there.
Yeah, you're looking for inventory.
A lot of great stuff classics. On the SEC Network that happened over ten years ago.
After SEC Media Days, every day, go hey, on Monday is Alabama Day, and we're going to show. Alabama
class. Game. I mean, great games.
It's football, and then do some basketball games as you get closer to basketball season. You can do. There's opportunities there that I think the SEC Network just totally drops the ball on. Not to mention the SEC alternate channel, which is useless, and you know,
it's unavailable. Gone. Just it's gone. About
that's it. Is
it really there?
Like baseball, softball season. You could be showing lots.
You know,
of things.
You know who else could get into this? And again, I know rights are sort of murky here, but you know, this is a War Eagle Plus idea too, or an idea for anyone behind a pay service looking for something. If you're an NIL. An NIL.
If you have access
to the historic stuff, and I know Auburn has. You know they've talked about putting some.
Here's what you do if you're wearing a plus. Show your coach's show. What about showing the Auburn football review from the 1999 Iron Bowl and showing that in its entirety?
Oh yeah, that would be nice.
You think I mean
that,
people would
that
watch
would be,
that?
That would be fun to see.
I mean those old. That's the thing. That's the other part of it. People that are the younger generation now have no idea how great the coaches' shows were when they did interviews with players in the locker room a game, and you saw highlights, and you listened to a coach talk about highlights.
There was no other way to get that information.
That was it. And so things like that, we could go on and talk about this for days. There are so many things that are missed opportunities right now. That you're right, though. That's one of them. If I'm Oregon Plus, I'm absolutely going, hey, let's start showing some old coaches' shows or – whatever it is. I think it would be magically, you know, delicious, just so to speak. I think it'd be awesome. It would be great.
That's pretty funny.
For the nostalgia heads out there, I think there'd be a lot of value to it. Maybe some of the folks who are curious about it.
A lot that have never seen that would be, I think,
younger
I think
fans,
they'd
yeah.
be enthralled once they started watching it, if they just watched for a couple minutes. First of all, to see like things like the giant shoulder pads or the tearaway jerseys.
I got one. Remember the – this is a callback for 10 people maybe, but remember the – Was it David Housel would do the speech before on the radio pregame show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there usually a speech?
Yeah, he had a spot on the pregame show.
And those were usually pretty good too. And there'd be I wonder if there's an archive of those sitting somewhere collecting dust, because those are there's some treasure probably in there.
He wrote in the game program every week.
Right.
He had a column every week.
In the program, and then had a.
I wonder if did he read the column or did he do a separate?
I can't remember.
I wonder if it was an excerpt.
It was separate.
Separate thing, yeah.
But you know, there you go. There's so many of those things.
There's treasure in those hills.
Absolutely, there is. Yeah, and it's just laying around somewhere.
Yeah, that's some great ideas, some fun things to think about. I'll tell you what, we'll go ahead and get to the bottom of the hour early. I want to get with Jason some, you know, talking about some of the recruiting. Some of Auburn's added a couple of players since we last talked to Jason. Talk about that and, you know, where Auburn stands with some of the guys that look like they're coming in for Big Cat Weekend in a couple of weeks. That and much more. Love for you to join in. Again, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Or you can text us on the Drive text box presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, 334-564-1840.
Part of the Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive. 28 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan joined by Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover. Drew here at the controls. And yeah, I wanted to talk a little recruiting. I guess the updated 247 coming out, and I see a lot of folks concerned. So I had to ask. We have to ask. What's going on with Juju Lewis? I'm not talking about necessarily his status with Auburn, but boy, his stock seems to be dropping in everybody's opinion.
Yeah, I don't think he had a great Elite 11. I think that was a lot of it, because mm-hmm. that's really the last opportunity you get a chance to see somebody in that setting, and everybody's doing the same things. So you're all doing the same drills, you're all doing those things. I don't think he was as impressive as some other guys, and so I think that probably caused, you know, he's not the most physical guy, and a lot of his is done pre-snap doing those things. Still a really good quarterback, but physically probably not as good as some of those other guys in the same setting, and so that probably had as much to do with it as anything.
All right, so sticking with quarterback, I saw you and Christian had a little, you know, thing today on how's Auburn stand with a couple of other quarterbacks, KJ Lacy and Deuce Knight.
Yeah, I think Auburn has continued to talk to those guys. And continue to do there. So I think from Auburn, you know, your official visit gets done, Elite 11, and you talk to folks and do those things. And so you continue to circle back around and go, hey, let's. So I think from Auburn, it's, hey, absolutely still involved with those two guys. The interesting thing is going to be what happens here in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Does one of those guys show up for Big Cat Weekend? I think that would be a pretty big thing. Deuce Knight is committed to Notre Dame. KJ Lacy's committed to Texas from Sayreland, a guy that, you know, Auburn has been talking to for a couple of years since his staff got on board. And so really both those guys. Deuce Knight's a guy that from Mississippi, obviously lots of connections for Auburn and Mississippi. So those are two guys that have been in conversations for a long time. And so I think, again, a couple of weeks from now, we will probably have a much better idea of what maybe the Auburn quarterback board might look like moving forward. But everything is ever-changing. And I think right now, when you think about everything involved at the quarterback position, you better be 100% locked in on your guys. And I think there's some questions from Auburn. And so, hey, you circle back around and maybe, okay, we might like this a little bit better moving forward. So it's moving target all the time, but I would definitely have Juju Lewis behind those two guys at the moment.
But Auburn definitely, I mean, there's no question, Hugh Freeze wants to bring in a top quarterback, high school quarterback, if possible, every year.
Every year. I mean, we talked about it last night on our live show, but it's one of the reasons why Auburn has been in the position where they are. Because too often you set your sights on a guy and, you know, didn't get him. And, right. Oh, well, or you say, hey, we're going to take you and we're not going to recruit a quarterback next year. Can't do that because you don't know if that, again, I come back to it. The NFL drafts, and they might have 10 players to choose from in the spot they're choosing in, and they still get it wrong. You're going to miss. That's just the nature of the game. And you might miss, and he may be a five-star guy because everybody talks about Alabama's development over the years. Think about all the five-star quarterbacks that didn't make it.
Yeah, that's right.
There was a bunch of them.
And think about the way
– if you have a lot, maybe, you know –
that's exactly how you have to do it.
Think about the way Alabama builds their quarterback room last year, right? I mean, last year you had the guy who'd been biding his time as the backup. You had the incoming five-star people were crazy about, and you had someone they'd brought in the transfer portal competing for the job. I think that could become – somewhat normal when you're replacing a starter is having multiple options in house and seeing, you know, hopefully by the start of the season and maybe a couple games into the season, deciding. Now, if you bring in a starter with a multiple year track record superstar, it's a little bit different as a transfer.
Yeah, if you can go, hey, we're going to go get this guy who was finished third in the Heisman Trophy race the last 2 years. Hey, Oregon bringing in Bo Nix, they still went and got some guys, but they felt like. That's a guy that we can build around. Let's create some competition.
Well, remember all the talk there was? I mean, maybe a lot of it was just Auburn people that were either glad Bo was gone or upset that he was gone that were like, well, he's not even going to start there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was pretty good.
Yeah, and so I think, yes, creating competition. Talk to Jake Thorne about on the offensive line, and you can see what they've done on the offensive line. Jacoby Ward, the most recent commitment. Get a bunch of guys, get really talented guys, create competition and see what happens. The same thing's true at quarterback. You just go get guys and go, okay, may the best man win. Georgia's probably the perfect example. Georgia has recruited five-star quarterback, five-star quarterback, five-star quarterback. You might lose a guy along the way. You may have a walk-on, beat him out, and win national championships and leave five stars on the bench. But that's what you have to have. And trying to do that is the goal now at Auburn. And so, you know, people ask, what about Walker White? Well, hey, Walker, we love you. We want you to go and compete, but we're going to go get somebody else next year to compete with you.
Yeah.
That's just what you have to do.
You can't worry about hurting somebody's feelings. Correct. Because they might leave. You better be recruiting the best guy you can every year and see what you want to recruit the guy that says,
hey, okay, I'm fine. Go bring somebody else in. That's fine. I'll beat them out. That's what you have to have, and that's the mindset that you have to have. And when you're recruiting, you tell guys that, look, we're going to go recruit other guys. That's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, you can't even worry about the feelings of an established starter. You know, if he doesn't want another guy around, it's like, well, you know, we need a backup option. You might not be on the team next year. Like, you know, it's the room is about more than just one guy. But when you're talking about somebody who hasn't played, you know what I mean, someone that's also just in competition.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, he's got to be ready to.
Correct.
He's got to be willing to take on all comers. You know, catch can and go prove that you're the best guy for the job. Yeah.
Well, especially now that players can leave at any time. You can't take anything for granted that what you're going to have.
It would be
in a year or two.
It would be a Milroe-esque story too if one of these current quarterbacks on the roster eventually, you know, had the job of Auburn starter, you know, next year or 2 years from now. We'll see if it happens. But I mean that would be. I mean, people didn't necessarily think Milroe
Nick Saban didn't either. Nick Saban didn't either. I mean, the guy didn't play against USF. That's all it takes, though. And somebody's asked about, well, hey, you know, do you have to go get a signee and a transfer? Hey, who knows what happens?
No, but if
Holden Gerner may step in week three, take over the job, throw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, and you may go, hey, we got a guy. You just don't know because you don't know what the season holds.
And that what I said yesterday, Jason, I was saying that if Peyton Thorne is the guy all the way through and has a really good year, then you almost have to get a transfer quarterback.
Correct.
Because you don't know what you have.
Absolutely.
Have
like
anybody
said,
prove
it. And you will know that. You'll know it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you play one of those, that's why it's like you don't know yet whether or not that's going to need, because you don't know Peyton Thorne where to miss games, where to be out. And as somebody steps in and goes, hey, that guy just lit it up, and all of a sudden he takes over, then you go, hey, well, we don't need that guy now. You know, so, I mean, it changes everything, but what happens in the season. And it really does that at every position. You know, you think about young guys defensively, and you start going, okay, well, you need to go replace it, you know, say at linebacker. You've got three older guys, three younger guys, and you go, well, you're going to have to go sign some transfers. You might, but what happens if those three younger guys blow up and really develop? And you go, oh, man, we feel really good about those three guys. Let's go get some other younger guys. I mean, you just don't know, because it's got to play out, and because of the portal, you can wait to see what happens without going. That's why you're always going to leave yourself spots in a recruiting.
You used to just have to roll the dice with what you had on the roster and say, let's hope these guys turn out to be good enough. But now, after a season, you can evaluate and you have, you know, there are a lot of different ways to find talent to bring to your team. And I'm sure Hugh Freeze is going to explore every single available avenue to try to make this team better.
And something else that we've talked about, I mean, everybody is we're going to find out now, I mean, how a five-star Brock Vandermeer, Brock Vandegrift,
yeah,
at Kentucky. I mean, there's a guy, team that Auburn plays. Brock Vandegrift hasn't played, but he's a five-star now there at Kentucky. And, you know, we don't know. We'll find out.
Well, I did it today. Kind of, hey, ranking the quarterbacks that Auburn's going to face this season. And you think about this league of the quarterbacks, and, I mean, Auburn plays Georgia, you play Alabama, you play Missouri. After that, I mean, Connor Wegman is another one of those guys. You go, man, physically through the roof. He hadn't played very much because he got injured in the Auburn game last year. Physically really talented. You think about, you know, Oklahoma quarterback, hasn't played very much. He started a bowl game, threw for a month. There's a lot of question marks. And so I think, but there's talented guys, how quickly they can adjust, You know, Kentucky thought he was going to play for Liam Cohen. Liam Cohen leaves and goes back to the NFL. Now you have a new offensive coordinator. There's so much unknown. I thought about the other day. It's like, man, we're still just a few weeks away from starting practices, and I really had no idea what to expect other than, you know, I think these teams will be good. I think this team will be kind of at the bottom, and then there's going to be a whole lot of jumble mess in between.
Don't you think, all right, another football thought, something we've been talking about. Don't you think Auburn probably not going to be picked very high in the SEC, and that's not bad.
Yeah.
I think coming off three straight losing seasons and the fact that it's going to be voted on by a lot of people that aren't covering Auburn either.
Correct. No division voting. So you're voting 1-16. I think Auburn will be ahead of Vandy. I think Auburn's ahead of South Carolina. I think Auburn's ahead of Arkansas. I think Auburn's ahead of Mississippi State.
I don't know about anybody else that there's a guarantee they're ahead of.
Florida. I think Auburn's ahead of Florida because of the schedule.
I agree.
Should be.
Florida ahead in Phil Steele's latest ranking thing, but I think I'm just wondering how the media is going to be. Sitting at the end of the season with a better win-loss record in the regular season than Auburn, it would be good news for Napier.
Really good news for Florida, not good news for Auburn.
That's why, though, when you do these things, you have to factor in schedule. You can't just look at it and go, well, that team's more talented than that team. Well, that is not the only deciding factor.
Oh, absolutely not.
Too often, too many people talk about that, and you see it when people start ranking top 25 teams. Well, all those teams can't be in the top 25 because they all going to knock each other. Mm-hmm. It can't end that way. So you have to look at schedule and go, that's why we used to pick the SEC schedule for the magazine, and you go down and go pick, you have to pick game by game. And once you pick this one as a win for this one, it's got to be a loss for that one.
That's what a lot of people don't do. They make it balance out. Oh, that's probably a win. That's probably a win. No, they may get a win.
No,
they both can't get wins.
You have to balance it out. The games have to be equal.
Jason listed five teams. I would probably agree with that and say that my expectation is that Auburn's probably 11th next week. You know, according to the media, maybe 10 if they're.
I figured 10 to 12.
10 if they're ahead of Kentucky. Would be my guess, and that's going to be the – I think those are the two teams that are right next to each other.
And that's why that's probably that game in Arkansas, because it's such a must-win game, those are the two most important games for me, because those are the two that if you lose the Arkansas game, you're in trouble. And those are games that you win those games, then you have set yourself up. And, I mean – it's funny, too, because people think about Kentucky, and you think about all this job that Stoops has done. They've won 10 games twice. They've lost at least five games every other year of his career. He's been there a long time, and only one of those was five. The rest of them have been six or more.
There isn't a team that will miss division play in the SEC more than Kentucky, right? Because you think about what that could do to their schedule.
Who misses division play Georgia? The most in the country? Because it's an easy one.
Is it in the SEC?
No. Ooh. Wisconsin.
I was going to say maybe one of the Big Ten. Because now you can have Ohio State and Michigan in the Big
Ten
championship
game. They were
all
on the other side. Wisconsin rolled into that championship game so many times that ain't happening anymore.
No, that's not when you have to play in that league. That's right. All right, we will get to our final break of hour number one. One more segment with Jason Caldwell here on the Wednesday Drive.
At Reynolds Outdoors, they're all about calm. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final segment of hour number one, our final segment with Jason Caldwell of Auburn Undercover. Jason, one of the things we were just talking about during the break a little while ago, you mentioned SEC Media Days going on out in the Dallas area while the Major League All-Star festivities are also going on there as well. One of the things that's going on is the Major League Draft getting underway on Sunday. I like the fact – I mean, I like – that they've included that. It's the Major League Draft, the Minor League All-Star. I mean, they have the Minor League All-Star Game, the Home Run Derby. They have all those things going on around the same time. But the Major League Draft, something that, you know, Auburn will be keeping an eye on. You always wonder if a high-profile signee might be headed out. I think we know the situation with the with the roster that Butch Thompson had and has coming into this year.
Yeah, I don't like the timing of it from a college baseball perspective, because I mean you're just a couple of weeks away from people being in school,
right?
There's not a whole lot of time to start looking elsewhere if you were to lose a few guys here or there. I think they need to sync it up a little bit more with the portal, to where you're going, oh, okay, these guys all come back. I'm going in the portal. That might open up some windows for potential other guys that you might be able to get in the portal. You can still go get guys in the portal, but nobody else can add their name to it. It's going to be an important one for Auburn, obviously. You look in. You know, Chase Alsop's a guy that I would expect to get drafted and would sign. I think he's a guy with a power arm that you'll see teams go, hey, we want to go and develop and move forward. So I think he'll be going. Obviously, Tanner Bowman did not have any eligibility returning. Will Cannon, another guy that you look at and go, potentially see what happens in the draft for him moving forward. So that's three pitchers there. Cooper McMurray's probably the guy that you look at and go, from an Auburn perspective, can you get him back? And I don't think he'd be a high draft pick. Had a couple of knee issues here or there, has shown some real power potential, obviously, at Auburn from the left-handed side. I think that's a guy, if you're Auburn, with an NIL the way it is now,
you'd love to have him back.
Make it very attractive to get him back another season, which would be huge, because, I mean, having another left-handed bat, you got Ike Irish, you got Kay Ballou, those two guys to build around three lefty bats in the order. You've added Lucas Steele. You added Jet Johnston recently, who was at Texas A&M, who was a really highly thought of guy out of Farragut Academy in Knoxville a few years ago. Added an outfielder from East Carolina. So you've added some pieces offensively, added some arms from the right side. We're still looking for the lefty arm, and that's the thing that's trying to figure that out. But from a draft perspective for Auburn, those are really the only guys. The rest of the guys were either older guys that are going to be gone, or Ike and those guys who aren't draft eligible yet. So you start kind of turning your eye to the high school ranks and the signee ranks. And Connor Gatwood is a right-handed pitcher from Baker High School in Mobile. Dealt with an injury this fall, but he's 96, 97. He is not high on the draft boards. He was going into the season. He's not there right now.
Yeah, I knew he had been.
But that's the kind of guy that, hey, he does a workout with a team and they go, oh, he's good to go, and he could fly up pretty quickly. That's a guy to watch. Christian Chatterton is a right-handed pitcher from Brooks High School in Killen. More like a Tanner Burns, and he's a hard thrower, but he's not the 6'5 hard thrower. He is one of the higher-rated guys, but it's down. I don't think he would be first-round guy. Chase Frelick is an interesting guy. Chase Frelick is a catcher. Peachtree City, Georgia, also a really good tennis player. I mean, like legit ranked tennis player in addition to being a catcher, power potential. So he's probably one of the guys to watch. Jackson Sanders, left-handed pitcher from Valley, been committed for a long time, signed. The lefties are always the guys you worry about a little bit more. I think that's the guy to watch. When you start thinking about some of those things, Chris Rembert, infielder from Pensacola, Another guy to watch. I think those are probably the guys maybe to pay attention to as much as anybody. But really, really strong pitching group. Much like it is on the current roster, it's really right-hand heavy. And so not a lot of lefty options, which makes going out and finding another left-handed arm right now really vitally important. They got a couple of guys back, a couple of freshmen from last year, and then you'll have I just went blank. Coming back as well. Carson Myers.
Oh, yeah.
Have Carson Myers back as well, but adding another potential lefty starter would be really important, and that's kind of the goal right now. But, yeah, see what happens with the draft.
All right, Jason, just about out of time here with Jason before it runs out. Let everybody know what all's going on. I mean, you got quite a few things that folks can keep up with and follow and coming up obviously, there at Auburn Undercover.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I got a watch list up today. You know, the updated top 247. Christian has a story on that. Right now, it's shifted from kind of 4th of July to Media Day special. Right now, if you haven't ever signed up before, you thought about it, you can do $1 for the first month, check it out, see if you like it, or you can just go ahead and do 50% off for the whole year. So you can get it's half price for the first year, or just $1 for a month to kind of check it out. So if you haven't ever signed up before, that's the time to do it. And again, follow us on all our social media things, a ton of stuff on our YouTube channels, and then follow me on Twitter at ITATJason.
Jason, thanks a lot. Great stuff as always. I guess I'll see you here in the studio.
We'll be able to talk about some Media Day stuff from here.
Because Dan, of course, will be out there at Media Days. That's going to do it for hour number one. Stick with us here on The Drive.
This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio with Drew at the controls. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, joining us as he does in hour number one here on this Wednesday. Great stuff from Jason as always. If you missed any of it, check out the podcast.
Podcast of The Drive, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com. And use the Podcast Center. All that presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Let's see. One of the things we keep talking about is SEC Media Days. Just 5 days away now, starting Monday. And it will be interesting, Dan, in that there will be a couple of days. Monday and Wednesday are not days that are heavy with Auburn interest. Because Auburn doesn't play many of the teams that play Monday or Wednesday.
No, you're right. Auburn's schedule is loaded with teams from Tuesday and Thursday. Where Auburn goes Thursday and has three of their I think he got him in the AL deal, and you traded those four guys for Machado. It was a pretty sweet deal there. But it's and I was trying to Fran Mil Reyes was the guy I was trying to think of the big power guy who was he also a Red?
Maybe
I think it's a big big power guy who'd flashed early on. But anyways, so I think Auburn will have you're gonna have with an eight game schedule. In a 16-team league, there are going to be a lot of teams there that you don't play. Half of the league there is going to be your schedule.
There'll be seven teams that you don't play every year.
Sure, and so
as long as you're playing an 8-game schedule.
Yeah, and I wonder. We'll find stuff to do during those days. I still maintain that because they have it's pretty ingenious to have opening day and then Texas Day and Oklahoma Day and Texas A&M Day, because I think you're going to have a lot of media following those respective programs to SEC Media Days in Dallas or local media that's very interested in those.
Yeah, because let's face it, it's really, as far as the media that usually is covering the SEC before it is moved out there to Dallas, it's been Alabama Day and Georgia Day and then whatever else you have. Because those are the two, those have been the two programs over the last decade. It's been Alabama and Georgia.
Right. LSU has had moments.
But as far as the media covered
it. But at Media Days, yeah.
It's been Alabama and Georgia. Of course, it hasn't hurt the fact that it's been Birmingham or Atlanta.
Imagine if Texas is picked to win this league.
Because of the media that's there,
and not just because. Texas is.
Texas is going to. I would pick Texas number two.
Yeah, I think just about anywhere in the league, Texas would be anywhere in the Southeast. Texas would be picked as one of the top two. It's just could they have done Media Day somewhere where they actually might pick Texas to win the SEC?
I think
there's a chance of it, and that would be it'd be pretty significant because it's been a while since it was either. I feel like you got to go back to like the Tebow Gators, right? To have like a non-Alabama or Georgia.
I think so. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure of that.
I would think maybe, yeah, the Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow Gators were the last time you had a team other than Alabama or Georgia picked to win the SEC in the preseason.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I said Quinn Ewers could be your preseason All-SEC quarterback.
Sure.
Not that he wouldn't deserve voting for all conference, but the top three teams also appear to have the top three quarterbacks.
And I think a lot of this is based on what Texas was able to do last season too. I mean, I think that there'd be interest in Texas coming to the SEC no matter what. But if Texas were coming off a 5-7 or a 6-6 season, I don't think people would be saying, "Well, they're gonna skyrocket to the top of the." You know, they may have lost to Texas Tech and Baylor last year, but they're gonna skyrocket to the top of the SEC just because they're Texas. And like you were saying with Oklahoma earlier, Bill, like if Oklahoma were coming off a playoff appearance and they had Lincoln Riley and Baker Mayfield, I think that there would be people talking about Oklahoma they would be getting that kind of attention. Instead, it's Sark and it's Quinn Ewers. They're leading a preseason national championship contender, and you know, between the novelty of Texas being in the SEC and the fact that this could be a very special season for this team, I mean, they have, as Jason was saying, they have the personnel to win really big this year. You know, you can understand why there's going to be a lot of Texas representation on the all conference lists. There's going to be a lot of interest in hearing from Sark and the Texas players, and there's going to be I would imagine Texas will do pretty well in the poll to determine who the media thinks will be in the SEC championship.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Can't wait, to start hearing the reports and watching everything, but checking all the info that's coming through on the 7 hours that we have every day right here on ESPN 106.7, starting with the Max Roundtable. Is Doug going to be out there? And then, of course, Jacob representing on the line, and you're there with the Drive. Every day. So it'll be, I mean, Monday is really, yeah, opening day, like you said. It's Greg Sankey and the state of the SEC and whatever news there might be. Who are the four schools on opening day?
I know LSU LSU, Vanderbilt, and two teams Auburn doesn't play. I think Ole Miss maybe is on day one. And I'm speculating here, but I'm pretty sure I think LSU, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, and somebody else, maybe Tennessee.
I closed my email. I'm going to have to, I was going to say I could pull it up because I had that open.
I've got the schedule right here. Fill time for just a sec, Bill.
Yeah. Okay. But yes, with 16 teams now, it's really easy. You just go four teams a day for 4 days.
LSU, South Carolina are your first two teams, LSU and South Carolina. On your first day, and then the second phase has Ole Miss and Vanderbilt.
Yeah, so the morning will be LSU, South Carolina, and then yeah, okay.
So Vanderbilt, the only team Auburn plays on day one, but we got the commissioner's remarks. I think folks will be interested to hear from Lane Kiffin and Brian Kelly, among others, there in day one. Day two, Georgia and Tennessee are the early teams. Oklahoma, Missouri are the late team. So three Auburn opponents on the schedule, with Georgia and then Oklahoma and Missouri both on the second wave. A couple of teams Auburn will see.
It'll feel like, you know, I guess we'll start getting the feeling of the new league immediately when LSU and Ole Miss are not. I mean, when they're talking and it has nothing to do with Auburn's schedule.
Yeah,
for LSU and Ole Miss. And now it's funny. I mean, now those schools have – Auburn has played them every year since 92. But they didn't before. So, I mean, we're closing out the 32-year stretch of playing those teams every year because you were in the same division. But before the SEC expanded to 12 teams, Auburn didn't play LSU or Ole Miss very often at all.
Acknowledging, though, there's a pretty significant portion of the fan base that doesn't remember pre-1992.
That feels like this is one of the rivals that we just have to play. And it's like, for the first 60 years of the Southeastern Conference, those teams just didn't meet much at all. Auburn played more of the teams that became SEC Eastern Division teams than they were playing teams that became – Western Division.
Auburn saw Florida on a yearly basis.
Auburn played Florida and Tennessee every year.
Auburn played Florida and Tennessee every year. I mean, the LSU and Ole Miss, I would say those are the two teams that became rivals of Auburn through division play.
Well, they did.
You know, between the
LSU felt like more of a rival
because the LSU game had stakes more often than the Ole Miss game did. Now, more recently, you've had between Lane Kiffin and Hugh Freeze, and the fact that you have a lot of Alabama people go to Ole Miss, and the game has become.
You had Tubbs come from Ole Miss.
Tubbs as well. I mean, more recently, I feel like there's been some juice to that game. But no, you're right. I mean, I think if there was an oversight on the schedule, Bill, by the SEC folks, taking Ole Miss and Mississippi State off of the Alabama and Auburn schedules, if you could have at all prevented it, I thought was a mistake. Not so much for Auburn and Alabama, but boy, that stinks for the Mississippi schools, right? I mean, you think about Mississippi State. I mean, to take Auburn and Alabama away those are two huge games.
It's funny. I haven't really studied State's schedule. So they now, let's see, I'm looking at it now. Of course, they don't play a conference game until the fourth week of the season. They've got Eastern Kentucky at Arizona State and Toledo to open the season. All right, Florida, they've played Florida a good bit. Then they're at Texas. Open date at Georgia. Oh, my goodness. State schedule.
Yeah.
State start of SEC play after Florida. At Texas. Open date at Georgia. Texas A&M. Then they've got Arkansas. So they're playing a lot of teams in the West. Then UMass at Tennessee. Open date Missouri and at Ole Miss. So, yeah, that's an odd – it's an odd schedule. They're playing a few teams from the West.
But I didn't hear LSU either.
They don't play LSU either.
So no.
Mississippi State doesn't have Auburn, Alabama, or LSU. The teams they retain from what was the West are Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Ole Miss.
Yeah, that's an odd schedule.
It really is.
And it's a schedule that –
They've got Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, and Texas that they've added.
Yeah. It just feels like a schedule that's missing some traditional outside of Ole Miss.
A lot.
Outside of Ole Miss.
Ole Miss is the only traditional rival that they've – I mean, the only team they've been playing for more than 20-something years on a regular basis is Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a bunch of teams they haven't played as many times.
Yeah, I mean, they could have swapped – I mean, I guess I don't even know what you would do in this situation. Do you swap out Kentucky for Mississippi State in that situation to get them another – You know, that would be, I guess, for Auburn. Like, do you find a way to get State on the schedule? I don't know. But I noticed that about – I mean, remember that when we talked about when they revealed the schedules. It was like, boy, the Mississippi schools aren't going to play – I mean, Alabama and Auburn are big games at Ole Miss and Mississippi State and vice versa. And it's not a – you know, they completely pulled the plug on that. And, sure enough, State's schedule is a little bit odd-seeming in the aftermath of that.
Yeah, now the three, because Ole Miss is playing three former SEC West teams, so they don't play Auburn, Alabama, or A&M. So they're playing LSU, Arkansas, and Mississippi State are the three teams they play. Now, I hadn't really gone through and looked and seen, did they try to split it up that way where you used to play six and now you're playing three?
They tried to keep some of the divisions, play alive.
I wonder if anybody's playing fewer than three teams that they used to play in the same division. I'll look at that during the break.
Interesting.
But whatever. But like I said, we'll notice it that first day when LSU and Ole Miss are there, and there's no reason except for just entertainment for Auburn people to be paying attention to it. Just like, well, let's see what Lane and Brian Kelly have to say, but it doesn't really matter what their teams are like unless Auburn's playing them in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, I think I'd be spending a lot of that first day at the Dr. Pepper cooler, right, Bill? I mean, think about it, I mean, between LSU, South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Vanderbilt, I mean, it's just not a ton of juice from an Auburn standpoint. I mean, there's interesting teams there. LSU could very well. I mean, look, they are for a team that folks think could be in the playoff. They're having sort of a quiet, sneaky offseason, aren't they? I mean, you replace Jaden Daniels. We'll see what Nussmeier is.
Nussmeier's been around for a while, and they think so much of him.
Yeah, and if they've got a schedule where 10-2 or better puts them in very real conversation. So I'll be interested to see what LSU.
Well, they open up the season with USC.
Yeah,
we will find out pretty soon. What both those teams look like. All right,
Wednesday the only team Auburn plays of the four is Alabama.
Mm, wow.
It's Alabama. The Wednesday slate is as Alabama, Mississippi State, Florida, and Texas. So it's just Alabama of the four opponents. But there will be a lot of interest Alabama with Kalen DeBoer making his debut as the head coach at his first SEC Media Days.
All right, we'll get to our first break. Greg, hang on. You'll be up when we come back. You can get in line behind him on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Right back with your calls here on the Wednesday Drive.
Like the Mighty Live Oak, Nick Hay, 382-7502, or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon, 20 minutes after 5 o'clock. And let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Greg gets us started. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Dan, you all right?
I'm doing all right, Greg. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too. Listen, I found this very, very interesting. I was having lunch with buddies today. And this question was a trivia question. What team in the Southeastern Conference does Texas have a losing record on?
Is it Arkansas?
Nope.
Ooh, a team in the SEC with a winning record against Texas all time.
Yes.
Oklahoma?
Nope.
Okay.
I don't know.
Vanderbilt.
Oh, how about that?
Well, they must have only played way back in the day. I guess over 50 years ago or so, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah, because Vandy was really good up until the, I guess, late 1950s.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to guess A&M. I knew it wasn't A&M.
Well, I mean, look at Auburn's all-time record against Vandy. It's right at 500.
Right. A&M, I think, if memory serves me, we went over it. Texas is like 76 and something.
It's a lot against not many. Texas A&M.
And Texas leads Oklahoma 63-51-5 as the record there. So, I mean, the Texas won.
Yeah, Oklahoma has really had the upper hand recently, but no, Texas still has the all-time lead.
Yeah, Texas has a 55% winning percentage in the Red Bull.
All right, now let me ask you this. What is Auburn, Alabama?
Let's see. Off the top, I mean, it's around a 10-game difference, 10 or 11-game difference now. Auburn had cut it to within, I think, 6 or 7, maybe a dozen game advantage now. You got the record there, Dan?
50-37-1 all time. Yeah, okay, Bama by 13.
Yeah, and that's with Alabama. You know, Nick Saban really helped stretch that out.
All right, what is Florida and Georgia?
Ooh, let me see if I can.
Georgia's got a significant advantage because Florida didn't do much until Steve Spurrier came along. We can we can check that one as well.
55-44 Georgia.
Okay.
is the lead in and I guess there is a disputed game because Georgia says they have a 56-44-2 record. Florida says it's 55-44-2.
Not even a dispute as to the game. Yes. Georgia says they played an extra game, and Florida says they didn't.
They disagree about how many times they've
played. That one didn't count, is what Florida's saying. Oh my!
Well, I found that very, very interesting that Vanderbilt has got it It's like 8-3
Yeah. Yeah, that just tells you they haven't played much over the last half century.
Texas also is now the only team in the SEC with a winning record all time against Alabama. Alabama, before the arrival of Texas and Oklahoma, Alabama could boast a winning record against every team, a winning record all time against every team in the SEC. Texas leads the Alabama series 7-2. After the victory in Tuscaloosa last year.
Yeah, and Alabama against the rest of the SEC has some pretty high winning percentages as well. Auburn fares pretty well when you look at records against Alabama all time.
Oklahoma also leads the all-time series against Alabama.
Now, we haven't played Texas much, have we?
No. No, Auburn hasn't played Texas or Oklahoma much.
And it's been neutral site games, right? It's been bowls and
Texas came to Auburn. Auburn went to Austin, but Auburn's games have just been bowl games. Oklahoma at either site.
Well, I remember the 69 game down the Sugar Bowl, and Oklahoma just blasted us.
There was a more recent one too, right? Yes. after the 16 season.
Both have been in the Sugar Bowl. Yeah. I remember both. I was at both. I was
Bowl,
at
yeah.
both Sugar Bowls.
Baker Mayfield.
It was the 71 yeah. Sugar Bowl, and then and
New Year's Day 17, right. I think.
Mm-hmm.
But Auburn hadn't played Oklahoma since, have they?
No,
Auburn has not played Oklahoma since the 2017 Sugar Bowl.
Has Auburn played Oklahoma? Did they play Oklahoma one time before the 71 Sugar Bowl, or are they just those two games against Oklahoma all time? They may have played one time way, way back.
Did Auburn play Texas in 83? I know I was at the game.
Yes.
In 83?
Yes.
Or was it 83 or 82? I mean,
83 and 84. 83 and 84.
Auburn had road games at the Auburn had Nebraska series before that, right? 81, yes. 82 was Nebraska?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so it would have been 80. I think Auburn picked up Texas after Nebraska, right? So it was 81, 82 were Nebraska, 83, 84 was Texas. I believe that's right.
I think so.
Because I remember Auburn almost went out to Lincoln, Nebraska, and almost beat them.
Yeah, that was a 17-3 game out in Lincoln before Nebraska came in and flexed their muscles at Jordan-Hare.
Nebraska had Turner Gill, Dave Remington, all of them.
Now Auburn beat Texas in Austin in 1991. I'm looking at the all time series here. There's a game in Texas. Was there a Texas? I've got eight games all time.
Eight games according to Wikipedia.
Yeah, and the most recent ones in 87 and 91, both Auburn victories.
Okay. All right. Well, I thought that was a very interesting question. I mean,
yeah, it's unusual. Again, it just tells you. Yeah, it tells you they haven't played. They haven't played an awful lot recently. But yeah, that is interesting.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Cool stuff, Greg. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, Auburn and Texas have played. That's what I said. They played a few times. Not many.
Stan White takes Stan White was the quarterback in the 91 game. I'm reading up on it a little bit. The victory in Austin in 91. But yeah, that's the last Auburn meeting in football. Two teams haven't played in men's basketball since before World War One.
Is that right?
Auburn and Texas. Yeah, they played a game in 1911 that Auburn won 45-27. On the hard floor, pre-shot clock era.
Not a lot of footage. That score would tell you.
Not a lot of footage exists.
I mean, that could be a football score now.
Could be a football score now. But yeah, Texas and Oklahoma joining the league, changing some things up, including the fact that the.
Now how about that? Alabama has always been able to say, well, nobody in this league has a winning record against them all the time. Now both the teams coming in
now,
do.
Now both of the new arrivals, two of the you know what, probably aren't too many teams of the national superpowers.
Oh, there aren't many teams, period.
Yeah, that have multiple meetings with Alabama and a winning record. Texas and Oklahoma both do, as a matter of fact. So we'll see how that changes as they go to
Norman.
They go to Norman,
year.
Yeah. And would have gone to uh, would have gone to Austin, right? If but they had to cancel that game because of the would have made the return trip.
Yeah, I would guess
because of the
or did they not play?
No, didn't
they played it? They played in Austin year before last, didn't they? And then there was Tuscaloosa last year. Or were they scheduled?
I thought the return visit was canceled because of Texas and Oklahoma joining the league. Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure on that. I tell you what, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll check our records. But
they won in Austin. That's right. Remember at the very end.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that was on the field goal at the very end. You're right. For some reason I was thinking that was a neutral site game, but that game was in Austin, and they won like.
Yeah, so they had played Texas each of the last 2 years. That's why you knew they would get Oklahoma this year. And it is there, and Auburn gets Oklahoma at Jordan-Hare. All right, let's get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in. Again, 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive. Yeah.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final half hour. This mic screen, this wind screen, it will not stay there. It's like I look up and it keeps.
You gotta twist the dial.
Yes, what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna tighten it.
Yeah, tighten that thing.
Yeah, there we go. That's a little better. All right. All right. So we're into our final 25 minutes or so here on the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, and let's get back to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Jerry is next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey guys, how are y'all?
Doing all right, Jerry. Good to hear from you.
I thought I'd mention something I heard last night during the Braves game. Chris Sale is expected to pitch Sunday.
He probably will opt out of the All-Star game since it's Tuesday. That's not even the day that he would normally throw.
Yeah, even if he doesn't opt.
I heard that last night as well. Not from the Braves broadcast, but they were just looking at possibilities. So. Go ahead. Well, Dan.
Pitchers who pitch on Saturday or Sunday probably should. Starting pitchers who pitch on Saturday or Sunday. I mean, I could understand why their organizations would be reluctant for them to.
Yeah, I didn't mean opt out, but just say that they're not available.
Yeah, they're just unavailable in your place. Now I know I know some people are bothered by how many replacements get to make the All-Star team and how many guys get to be All-Stars because you're scratching pitchers on Sunday, Monday.
I don't have a problem with that at all. I mean, hey, what each league should do is try to have the guys that give them the best chance to win.
Yeah, and I'd be okay with a couple more spots on each of these All-Star teams because there's a lot of good players being left out, and you have the need for full pitching staffs and full bullpens in order to keep everybody healthy at the All-Star game next week.
Yeah, right. And he didn't have a problem with it at all.
I would think.
No, I mean the Braves have got to be concerned. I mean the Braves want Chris Sale out there every opportunity they can get him out there.
I would think that does open the door for Skeens. To be your starter though with Sale. Yeah. How about this with Glasnow on the IL, who would also have been in the conversation for this. But between Glasnow on the IL, he's not going to be there at the All-Star game, and Sale pitching on Sunday. It's starting to open up for. I mean, who else is – I mean, Zach Wheeler? Like, who else would be in the conversation?
Wheeler has been almost dominant. Now, he left his last start after – he had to leave after five innings because his back was bothering him. So, I would think Skeens is going to be your guy. Let's see. He's scheduled to go tomorrow, so that means he's got plenty of rest because that would be his last start before the All-Star break would be tomorrow. So, he'll be going Thursday. He'd have 4 days rest. He's on his perfect rest for him to start the All-Star game. What a I think that's the perfect scenario there.
Yeah, it's a good story, and I saw where Marcell Ozuna is going to be in the home run contest also.
Oh, that's good. I mean, it's funny. It seems like they're slow to fill the spots there in the All-Star game. I think I just saw that Adolis Garcia is going to. going to be in it as well. So I've only seen like four of the participants so far.
I believe we have Pete Alonso, Alec Baum, Gunnar Henderson, Marcel Ozuna, Jose Ramirez, Bobby Witt Jr., and Adolis Garcia. Okay. So I think seven of the eight participants
spots.
Have been
revealed. It should
be
Alex Baum. I don't know why he goes by Baum.
That's what we call him on the show. We call him Alex Baum, baby.
Much better for a power.
He was Justin Bauer because of the power, and not Justin Bohr, and he's Alex Baum. So Alonso, Baum, and Ozuna from the NL, and Henderson.
So you're looking for another
Witt
NL
Jr.
guy?
And Garcia. So yeah, could be another NL guy joining the fray. We'll see.
Yeah, Gunnar Henderson is going to be in it.
Yeah, he was the very first player that announced he was going to be in it. And he's has at least 27. I remember seeing his 27 a couple of days ago.
I sure hate we missed that on him.
Well,
he's a great player.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough when you didn't have NIL or anything like that around and you have a guy that is that talented. I mean, he made the right decision. I mean, it's tough that didn't get to see him in the Auburn uniform. But, looking back, things have worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah, rookie year.
Yep. Possible MVP. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys.
All right, Jerry. Good stuff. Appreciate it.
I know. I was saying I want an NL guy in there, but if Stanton's healthy and he wants to do it, it is always a lot of fun to watch. But I know he's not. I think he just got hurt in the last couple of weeks again. But he's one of my favorites to watch do his thing in those. Things. You can see with Christian Walker. Maybe I'm thinking about NL.
Yeah,
NL guys.
He ought to be there. It's a shame there always seem to be so many first basemen. He's a guy that's having a really, really good year. He's got 20. I think he's got 23.
Your top NL guys in home runs Shohei's not going to do it. No. But you've got you got Christian Walker, Bryce, who's also probably not going to do it after the recent hamstring strain and now a hand injury too. Did something happen with Bryce's? Something happened with Bryce's hand in the most recent game too. So I mean,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, hopefully he's.
I knew he was back and went over.
You got Teoscar. You got Brian Reynolds, Nolan Gorman.
You got,
Lindor.
Well, Marte's got 17.
Marte's right there too. There's some some interesting names they could go to. We'll see how they fill out that roster of
let the kid who just came up for the Reds yesterday.
Niceville kid?
Yeah. My goodness. Reese Hines, by the way, and I know you're always touting the 8-5 odd.
Yeah, but he's IMG too.
But he's a Niceville native. I went to Niceville High before
he left
went
us.
To IMG.
He left us.
Oh yeah, to be a second round disloyal. Pick of the Reds, and he's done in his first two games in the major leagues is something that nobody had ever done before. He has 5 extra base hits in his first two major league games. He doubled in homer in his first game. Last night he had doubled and tripled, and then he hit. A mammoth home run last night. They said it was 458 above the scoreboard in Cincinnati. And so he came up in the ninth inning with a chance to hit for the cycle, but he couldn't help. Like, he had done such a good job. They said his big problem has always been he's so strong. He has the great raw power, and they just tried to get him to cut down on the swing, just make contact. And the home run was a thing of beauty. He just took a it wasn't even a he didn't swing hard, just a nice solid swing, and the ball just exploded off the bat for the homer. But he came up there the ninth inning, and he was so excited he about screwed himself in the ground on every pitch trying to hit the ball 1,000 feet, and he struck out. But still 5-for-7 to start his career with all 5 hits, extra bases. It's going to be tough. He may have set the bar pretty darn high.
We had Jason look up that he was an LSU commitment out of high school before.
That makes sense. He hits the ball like an LSU guy.
It was a guy that I think was either 16 or 17 drafted instead of going to LSU out of IMG Academy. But yeah, great start to his career. Well, I'm curious to see with the draft on Sunday if it impacts Auburn either with signees or with players that are I mean, I guess Coop would be one of the big question marks, right? Of
oh yeah,
you know,
I think he is the biggest.
Yeah, guys who could be deciding to return to Auburn or pursue something professional.
Yeah. So as I was saying, I mean, there's a lot going on around that. Yeah, you know, I don't know how it's going to, if any way at all, it would be able to interact with the SEC media days and things that are going on. But man, there's a ton that will be going on out there in the Dallas area over the next week.
Yeah, we've got an event during media days. We've got an event Wednesday at the Rangers Stadium presented by the. By the Rangers, that should be a lot of fun. Not missing out on the Home Run Derby and the All Star Game festivities. They'll have events where we can watch, but it's just you're talking about such a large group of journalists too,
mm-hmm.
trying to block out. You know,
yeah, it's
seats
not like
or
oh
something.
We've got 1,500 available yeah. seats.
If it weren't All Star Game weekend, you know, if it were just a regular Rangers game or something, maybe you could find a way. But like, I think with the All-Star game and stuff like that, that's but getting to see the stadium is going to be really, really cool.
Yeah.
And yeah, looking forward to doing some exploring around downtown Dallas.
Yeah. So again, a reminder that both Dan and Jacob Goins going to be out in Dallas for SEC Media Day. So we'll have all kinds of coverage. Obviously. Since Doug Amos of the Max Roundtable is going to be out there, your regular programming every day from 11 to 6 will all be originating from out in Dallas. I'll be here. Dan will be out there in Dallas. So Brian Matthews he'll still be in on Monday. Jason will still be in on Wednesday. Don Dunn's going to be coming in every day. Next week as well.
Looking forward to hearing what you guys are whipping up here in the.
Well, we're just going to be here waiting to hear everything that's going on there.
Well, I'm going
to
do
and maybe some things that weren't on the SEC network.
And I want to shout out our sponsors again, sending us to SEC Media Days: Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Roots Real Estate, Wisdom Law Firm, State Farm Agent Callie Bryan Chadwick, and University Ace Hardware.
All right, we will get to our final break of the afternoon. Still plenty of time for you to join in. Love for you to come in on the Wednesday Drive.
Experience and knowledge. ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the Wednesday Drive with Bill and Dan. Still time for you to join in if you'd like. 334-321-1390. Anything that you'd like to talk about sports-wise? Anything that you wanted to mention?
Well, we got European soccer. I know that's not your
no,
cup
you,
of tea.
No, you can definitely talk as much as you want
I can't tell you all that much about other than it's Spain versus England in the Euro final this weekend. England getting it done. It's coming home potentially, Bill. That's what they say over there because it's been a long time since Drew, maybe you have the year. It's been a long time since England's won one of these big tournaments, right? Either the Euro or the World Cup. You know, it's been a long time. For such a football crazed country, mm-hmm.
You showed me the reaction.
Yeah, I showed you Wembley. That was the go ahead goal against the Netherlands today for England. They were down early. They were down in the first like six. Yeah, 66 World Cup was the last. It's 66 World Cup is their last major tournament championship. For England and so they still care about football over there, Bill. They're still even though they haven't won one of these things in 66. So they sing the "It's Coming Home" song every 2 years, thinking they're finally going to bring a championship home, and it hasn't worked out for them over the last 60 years. But they're in the finals against Spain, and that one's what is the is the final on? Let me see if I can find. I'm pretty sure you've got the finals on Sunday, 2:00 on Fox, Spain versus England in the Euro Championship. Also, a little bit, since we're talking, since for some reason we're talking soccer in this final segment, the United States also making a change in the last couple of hours. Greg Berhalter out as the head coach of the men's national team. United States hosting the World Cup 2 years from now. The 2026 World Cup will be hosted by North America, Mexico, Canada, and the United States. So the United States will be looking to find a coach who can get them ready for the tournament in 2 years.
One of the things we were talking about a little while ago was the baseball draft, and you know, Jason was talking about you know, Auburn has added quite a few things to the portal, still looking for a left-hand pitcher. Well, one of those guys that Auburn had been pursuing along with a lot of others, Matthew Dallas, a lefty from Tennessee, just tweeting out 20 minutes ago a picture of him in a Wake Forest uniform and go Deeks. Mm. So he is committed to Wake Forest. And a couple of follow-up comments from that are people are saying that Vandy losing their top player, they are now in the market for a left-hander, and one Cade Fisher, who Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi State, and others, and you can count Auburn among the others, had been looking for. Vandy is now really making a strong push. Left-handed pitchers, it's like left tackles. It's like quarterbacks. I mean, that's gold. I mean, that's the most coveted item is left-handed pitching. Auburn's been looking, but it's really, really difficult, even though I think Auburn is very competitive NIL-wise.
I think it's one of those things where you really want to be, I mean, getting back to Hugh Freeze's strategy, and to an extent Butch's strategy, you really want to be finding these guys when they're younger and developing them in-house, because...
Or in the transfer portal, man, you want to grab them early.
Yeah,
but
if you're hinging on... the top guy at his position in the transfer portal is going to pick you over everyone else.
If you're not a team that's expected to be right there at the top,
maybe.
I mean, it's going to be tough.
They might. You know what? Only one school's getting the rose, Bill. You know what I mean? A lot of folks are going home without a left-handed pitcher in that situation. And yeah, Auburn's still looking to add reinforcements to the baseball roster.
Oh, and I can tell you why Vandy is looking. Apparently, I did not realize this. Vandy had gotten a commitment from a Michigan State left-hander who was considered to be the top lefty in the portal. He earlier today withdrew his commitment and is going back to Michigan State. Vandy screaming, it's NIL. Well, yep, it probably is, Vandy. But, I mean, that's why Vandy's in the market for a left-handed pitcher as well. So, and college athletics, it is amazing that we've gotten to this, and now it's like it is sometimes a battle. And And I know that there are quite a few coaches that are more than a little frustrated with the fact that they feel like they have a commitment from someone, all right, everything's set, and then it's like, well, wait a minute, you still have a chance, you know, to somebody to top that offer and back and forth. And a lot of times it feels like players are using the opportunity to stay where they are, but just get more.
And you can't blame folks for you know, using all the leverage at their disposal to make the best deal for themselves. But I mean, we talked about, Lane Kiffin said this a couple years ago, where he said, you know, he was relaying a story, and I know people kind of rolled their eyes at it, but I'm sure stories like this are happening across college athletics. Lane Kiffin said, you know, I'd been recruiting a kid for 2 or 3 years, routine checkups, talking to him a lot. You know, we had a dollar amount that he seemed happy with on a Friday. On a Monday, I get a call. He's never met the coach. He's never visited the program, mm-hmm. but they're offering him twice as much money, and he's taking their offer from them. And it's like, and that's got to be it's got to be frustrating. But that's, you know, the folks who can adjust
everybody's got. I mean, I know. Even if you have a huge war chest. Can you afford to do that on every player? I mean, you have to then determine, well, look, it's got to stop somewhere. We can only, you know, we're not going to pay $1 million for this one guy if the next guy coming in is going to expect that as well.
Sure. I mean, it's a balancing act, and it's I'm sure it's happening. That's a Lane Kiffin football story, but I'm sure it's happening in other sports as well.
I think it's happening everywhere.
The places where NIL is playing a large role. And now I think when you get down to the mid-major level, NIL considerations aren't playing as large of a role as time and opportunities and fit and you know what? And you're seeing stories. I can't blame guys for taking the money. But I know stories in football and women's basketball, men's basketball, where it's like you took the dollar amount, and a year later you're regretting that it was the best situation financially, mm-hmm. but it wasn't the best situation for your college career because you took the dollar amount to be somebody's third string or fourth string option instead of going to a place that could have given you an opportunity to prove yourself on the floor.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. Right now. Fun show today. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell for being with us. We're back tomorrow.
Think we could have a Justin Ferguson sighting tomorrow.
I didn't know. I was
the groomsman could be in the house.
I wasn't sure if he was back yet. So well that will be good. So yeah, we hope that will be the case. We hope you'll join us as well. But we're out of time here on the Wednesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.